And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 6, week 52, new 52, week 2. Sorry about that. And I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And this week we have a special guest who has done a lot of contributions through the Facebook group, Murray Fox. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Murray. I have a podcast of my own, Doom Patrol podcast. It's called Doom Patrol. And if you're interested in the Doom Patrol at all, you can wander on over there and me and Scott talk about Silver Age Doom Patrol and modern Doom Patrol and all the Doom Patrols in between.
You're dealing with you're talking right now about the Crawling from the Wreckage stuff, right?
We are, yeah.
Morrison.
We just finished looking at the first storyline of Grant Morrison's run there. So it was cool. It's been a long time since I've read that one. So it was cool.
I have to admit, I never really read any of that stuff. So I might have to check out that podcast out. And
you totally will.
That early stuff that he did, I haven't listened to you guys talk about it yet, but it was actually normal.
Mm-hmm. So that should be good.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's get her started here. We're going to be talking mostly about DC's New 52, the second week of books, and throw some other stuff in there. You want to get that out of the way first, or you want to jump into the DC stuff?
I want to save mine for the end.
Okay. That sounds fine to me. Let's start off in alphabetical order. Batman and Robin, number one. Who wants to go first?
All right. Well, I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Okay.
My comments, to quote myself, were meh. Robin's a real dick, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
The emo Batman that was running through the whole thing was kind of irritating.
Oh.
It was a little interesting that that Bruce foisted Damian onto Dick to be his Robin, but now he's like, he's almost saying, I don't want you as my Robin. I thought that was odd. So, those are my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, I hadn't read any of Damian's stuff other than panel or two in Teen Titans, and I get the feeling we're not supposed to like him, but
no, you're not.
But I don't like him. I mean, I don't like reading about him.
I gave this a 5 out of 5.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why, because I've been on board with Damian since Batman and Son that Grant Morrison wrote. And to tell you the truth, yeah, he's a dick, but this guy is like Mr. Rogers. This Damian is Mr. Rogers compared to who he was when he first came on. He tried to kill Tim just as soon as he got introduced, almost, to take over. You got to take it into mind, and they don't talk about that very much in here. And some of this, and especially this week, the stuff that has backstory, that, you know, because this is not a hard reboot, there, you know, Batman and the Green Lantern stuff is a continuation from before Flashpoint. You miss a lot of that. If you just picked this up cold like you did, Murray, I can understand. I wouldn't like him either. This is typical Damian, though. He's kind of like, it's his way of showing off, and he was a lot worse with Dick when he was Batman when this title first started.
I would disagree. I disagree. I read those issues with Dick as Bat and Dick as the Batman, and I thought he was actually easier to deal with.
Well, I don't know.
And as a reader, he was easier to stomach. That's for certain.
I don't know. It's like
brings out the best in everyone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're not supposed to love this character, and I thought he followed Dick's directions better towards the end than he is Batman's now. It's like he's shutting off.
Yeah, well, really, I agree.
This is what he always does when he meets somebody new. And that's just the way, I mean, he is. Being raised by the assassins and all that. And I don't know if either one of you read Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul. But that storyline, that was before Batman R.I.P. But you find out that he was basically genetically engineered to be the receptacle for Ra's al Ghul's mind. That's the whole reason for being. And so, you know, that, and in the Batman and Robin, you know, spoilers everyone, which, you know, this is a spoilers podcast, but, you know, that's when he, you know, first really full time being taken in. So by, you know, Bruce and all of them. So, I don't know. He kind of grows on you. To me, it does. I like it. I mean, at first I hated it and I hated that character, but it's like, it's kind of like it was back there for a while with Batman and Dick Grayson. And it's just a little bit of, I don't know, a contrast to each other. Now, as far as you're saying, quote unquote, emo Batman, I think that's actually just the opposite of what's happening here. This is growth by Bruce Wayne. He is not mourning over their death, going putting the roses on Crime Alley anymore. He's letting that go and going to celebrate their life. I think that's a good thing for the character. I didn't really consider emo in my opinion. That's why I gave it a 5 out of 5. This is the first real growth in Bruce Wayne in I don't know how long. So,
well, given that the purpose of this podcast is, hey, let's bring new listeners into or new people into comics. Let's talk about that. So, Murray, you're a good test case.
Yes, exactly.
Would you pick up number 2 of this book?
I probably wouldn't pick up number 2, but I thought I didn't think it was hard to follow or anything, like not having followed Batman forever. I pretty clear on what was going on. I was able to drop into the story and stuff, and it was all like I didn't feel what's going on. It was fine. It was a fine book. It's just it's probably not a book for me.
No, that's fine. Well, and you know, as a caveat, as anybody that's listening to this podcast know, I am a huge Batman fan, so probably a point of that 5 out of 5 was added on there just for that. But to me, this was more of the same of what was going on in the previous series, so that's why I liked it. So,
there's certainly lots set up here that who's writing this, Peter Tomasi, that he can use for further issues and stuff. Like you can see that he's placing Bruce and Cranky Pants there in a certain spot, and then he's going to move them along, and they'll grow and stuff. And that's all cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. He's got pants now, doesn't he? Okay.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, and you know, he wrote. I really enjoyed his run on the previous series too, when he finally was taken over because they had a shift back and forth there for a while. And I don't know, I just really like it.
I thought the artwork was really good too. Like,
yeah, I really like it. I think this is the same guy that was on before. I'd have to pull out my old issues.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember what I've seen Patrick Gleason on before. I don't think I loved it, but.
Mm-hmm. It might have been Green Lantern Corps.
Maybe. But there's some good expressions, and some of the panel layout is kind of cool. Like, visually, it's not bad at all. It's dark, but it's a Batman book, so
yeah,
you're not going to get the bright and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. I will check out number 2. Will I continue? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and it did have a lot of the Batman Inc. stuff in there. Too. It wasn't as out there as it is heavy as that. Yeah, okay, I'm looking at Patrick Gleason. He was on the Batman Robin before and Green Lantern Corps.
When he did some of the interiors for Brightest Day as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
X-Men Unlimited. Inker, yeah, he's inker and cover artist on a lot of stuff. Okay. So that goes with that.
And I agree with you guys. The art was nice. I will grant that. And that's that. That actually kicked it up. I initially had given it only a 1.5, and I scanned it and went, you know, the storytelling on this is really good looking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And easy to follow, like Mer said. It was easy to follow.
Yeah, I like that. Next up, we have Batwoman number 1. It does exist.
And it's party. It is a party.
Oh, yeah. This guy's art is just phenomenal. And anybody that read his run when the character was really introduced in Detective, the Greg Rucka run, they collected it as a trade called Elegy. It's really good stuff.
Well, I gave this a 4. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, 2.
Hmm?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's what I gave it to. And the only reason I probably wouldn't do it 5 is I think this might not have been as reader-friendly as it could have been, which I think they did a good job of explaining some stuff there towards the end. But this was obviously written directly right after the Detective run. And, yeah, you don't really know who that Batman is at the end, whether it's Dick or – it's probably right after Bruce Wayne came back.
And that was actually why I knocked it down. I initially gave it a 4.5, is that there was – I kind of didn't know how this woman is Catwoman. I didn't.
You mean Batwoman?
Batwoman. Excuse me. Yeah, that was not well placed in the story.
Yeah, towards the end when she's talking with her father, and you see those scenes up there, you know, on that two page spread. That's pretty much like that whole part of that Elegy storyline altogether.
That was a pretty two-page spread, though.
Yeah, it was. Nice. And yeah, the art in that, I highly recommend that hardcover. I don't usually get hardcover trades, but I was out on a trip and saw that and picked it up because I just loved it. And reading through it again, it was oversized too, so it was the art that just made the art even pop even more. They go into really highly detailed about her origin. And when they first announced this character, you know, they just played up that she was a lesbian and didn't, you know, in 52 there really wasn't much depth. But when he did that run in Detective, that's where this character, you know, I really fell in love with the character. And also that Batman number 0 that they put out in the meantime. Really good stuff, and I really love this character.
You got to give Williams a lot of credit. I got to give him a lot of credit. He kept the voice really consistent with what Rucka had done.
Oh, absolutely! You couldn't really tell the difference. I didn't think it's really good.
I'll tell you that the thing that kicked this up for me in a couple notches in quality was the treatment of Betty Kane.
Actually, I was surprised at that.
And the mention of her as a Teen Titan, again, this is something we talked about briefly last week, but then I've seen talked about a little bit on Facebook and such, is, you know, yeah, there is something of the Flashpoint world exists. Mm-hmm. There's the Titan. At some point, she was a Teen Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so the Teen Titans have existed in some form or another in the past, in the last five the last 5 years of the DC Universe.
Yep. Yep.
I liked it. I had never read any Batwoman before this, other than appearances in 52.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go back and pick up her Detective run because it sounds amazing.
Oh, but this was
remarkably easy to dive into. Like, anything you needed to know was in that book. Was in this, like, that two page spread that kind of details that previous storyline. Yeah. It gives you just what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But not doesn't go super heavy on the details and
yeah.
You know what this book? This book.
Yeah.
Oh, Go ahead. I'm sorry, Murr. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Alexi and Betty Kane. I love that we got Cameron Chase in here.
Yeah. I was surprised to see her in there.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, question. Is she a lesbian too? Because is this like the lesbian book?
I don't know. No. Okay, the only other thing, somebody had mentioned it. I don't know who said. I think it was one of our threads on Facebook or maybe in the Legion podcast one. But that little thing with Renee Montoya, somebody thought maybe that she's dead now, but I don't think that's really the case. They might think she's gone, and she left the department, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But whether she's the question or not remains to be seen.
Well, yeah, and again, that's why I was asking: is this a lesbian? We got our main character here, Kathy Kane. We saw Captain Sawyer. I don't know if she's a captain anymore, but
yeah. Who's
now part of the Gotham PD, which was I thought she was Metropolis, but
yeah, they mentioned that in I think in the when they were talking about when she said, "I gave you my card weeks ago." That was actually the Batwoman number zero.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
See, that's why I knocked it down, because some of that stuff, you know, this was obviously written way before the whole 52 thing came out. And that's why I even heard, you know, some people had speculated that that's why it was even done and still late, is because they found out, well, okay, we're going to do this thing. So just hold on to it until – you know, whatever. So, because she actually shows up in one of the Batman Inc. issues, actually a couple, and she's working with Bruce Wayne on a case. So, anyway,
and it's interesting that he's kind of brought her in, but he still keeps Babs Gordon, Batgirl, kind of. Not part of his inner circle.
Well,
I kind of gathered that from last week from Batgirl. So
see, I didn't get that, but
oh, okay.
That's just I really didn't get any feeling either way, but that just could have been me.
All right.
I was more concentrating on the Oracle thing than anything else.
Okay.
Which okay, so next up we have Deathstroke number one.
I give this a 3. I actually was surprised that I was willing to go that high on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's vicious,
mm-hmm.
But the art was great.
Yeah,
and it's
it is.
Got, it's just, and the concept, the way that they've built him up is, you know, he's got to reestablish himself.
Mm-hmm.
Is a sustainable concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I, you know, we should have said at the top of this, lots of spoilers, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
but
we should have.
But it's a sustainable concept. The way that, you know, he's like people, the world in general, you know, seem to view him as washed up, you know, doing bodyguard work, and that's a direct reference to Identity Crisis, obviously.
I think so. Yeah.
He's still a badass. Mm-hmm. He's still is willing to do basically anything for a buck. I don't know if I'd pick up a third issue, but I'm going to check out the second issue.
Yeah. I gave this a 2.5 out of 5. I mean, the art's good and the story's pretty good, but I'm not, with the exception of Secret Six, which is completely against what I'm just about to say, I'm not really big on making villains the star. And, you know,
what did you pick up? Boy, is this a cruddy week for you then? Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, some of it. but I liked it. It's just, you know, I don't know. This isn't my idea. I don't know. I've kind of got a love-hate relationship with Deathstroke. I mean, I've followed him all through his career. He's a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's a good guy. And then he's a really, really bad guy. And, you know, so hopefully they keep this and stick with it. And it looks like they changed, because, you know, that scar on his face, how he lost his eye, which is out of Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Because his wife had shot him in the eye before.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like now he, you know, got scarred there, so. But otherwise, it's a good book.
Maybe I need to read that again. I missed that.
Yeah, there's several close-ups where he's just got this long – it goes all the way up almost to his hairline, all the way down to his mouth, right in the middle of his eye.
I need to revisit that. Okay.
So, yeah, so that – they've changed how that happened. But anyway, so what did you think, Murray?
I didn't like it. I get the one. I thought a brush cut, really a brush cut. I couldn't get past that, man.
Oh yeah, you're the one that made that comment on Facebook, yeah, or somebody else did.
He looks dumb.
Well, I think that's kind of why I put it down a little bit. It was almost too stereotypical, you know. But anyway.
Now, Caleb's right. It is a neat hook to have him portrayed as down on his luck and fighting to prove his rep. That's an interesting angle to take with Deathstroke, for sure.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, because up until this point, I mean, he's everyone's kind of viewed him as the go-to guy, but they've changed his status quo, or at least his perception within the DC universe. And I've been following this guy on and off since New Teen Titans number 2. So he's been around for.
Yeah, the most brutal portrayal of him would have to be an Identity Crisis, I would say.
Or at least the most badass. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm glad to see that this was the writing was up to snuff, because this is the same guy that's going to be writing Nightwing next week, and we all know, well, at least anybody that's heard me talk on the podcast, how I feel about Nightwing. So I have high hopes for Nightwing next week.
And who is the writer on this?
Kyle Higgins is his name.
Kyle Higgins, okay.
He was the co-writer of that Batman Geats of Gotham.
Okay.
All right. And he did a Supreme Power thing for Marvel, but other than that, I don't think he's done that much stuff yet.
Okay, well.
But that gives me high hopes on that.
I would think so.
Yep.
Well, cool. I'm. Well, again, I'll check out 2, 3, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Next up, we have Demon Knights number 1.
I'll let you go first. I'm
okay. Well, let's see. Paul Cornell, Diogenes Neves, and Claire Albert, I guess. Being Paul Cornell, I had high hopes, and this was a good book. I'm a sucker for fantasy stuff. I've read a lot of fantasy novels and stuff, and I really like this. Knowing just a little bit I do about some of the characters, it's a lot of action, and didn't really care for the – which you should have maybe put a Team Plus, what happened to the baby, Mordred into the baby, but you know, other than that, I really liked it. I see a nice dynamic in here, and I liked the portrayal of Vandal Savage. That was kind of funny.
Yes, it was. I think that was a great hook with Vandal Savage.
Oh, yeah. And some great, like, inside jokes looking things. There was some kind of Easter egg that he put in there having to do with that inn that they were in, but I didn't really catch it.
I'm going to have to go back and look again. I don't know.
They're standing there outside the inn, and something about the victory in Rome and the Red Bull. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but anyway. I'll have to – I saw something – he said something about Facebook that nobody had caught it yet, and somebody had commented on it, but anyway. And I like the whole how Madame Xanadu seems to be playing both Jason and the demon. I thought that was pretty funny, but anyway.
Yep.
All right. Next up, whoever wants to go next.
Go ahead, Roy. Some great character moments in this book. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect with it, but I ended up really liking the character interactions were great. The Madame Xanadu and that demon hooking up there was lots of fun. Sir Justin there. Mm-hmm. she will be lots of fun to follow along.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to figure out.
Well, I think it's a she. Like, I think it looks like it's the Sir Yston from the Seven Soldiers of Victory that Grant wore. Oh,
okay. See, I never read any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah, it's totally her. It's 100% her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, they each have their own voice. It's. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, the three-dimensional characters for sure.
Yeah. Plus, you got Mordru in there, so that's always a bonus.
Oh yeah, can't go wrong with Mordru.
No.
My favorite villain.
There's our legion. There's our legion tie right there.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I am right there.
Oh, I loved how they. I think it was Jeff Johns actually, and maybe someone else had done it before. I don't know, but Jeff Johns had sort of. No. It was actually in.
It was JSA.
It was an Amethyst miniseries from way back when that they made. They made it. Mordru was a an immortal character. Had been around for centuries and centuries, and he just, you know, his latest appearance was in Legion, but he had been on and off a villain for, well, and now he's been established as a villain for, you know, centuries.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in JSA as well.
Yep. He was in that the dark something or other, right?
Princess of Darkness or something like that. I've got the trade around here somewhere.
Yeah.
Stealing Thunder. Oh yeah, Darkness Falls. I think that was it.
Right. Yeah, he was the big bad in that along with Obsidian, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Well, this was my 5. This is my first 5 of the new 52.
I don't know why I said 4. Oh yeah, the baby. That's why.
The baby. Okay. Well.
It was quality baby. Who can blame him?
Yeah. Well.
Toss the baby out with the bathwater. No, that was a surprising moment. I don't know. Was this book a T or a T plus? We can certainly talk about that.
Yeah, again. That goes along with what we were discussing on Facebook about the TNT plus. I mean, and in that very last page with the head flying. I probably should have been a T+ in my, but you know, that depends on how you look at it. I think that is subjective, just like art,
yeah,
in general. But
it was still an awesome book.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Dead baby, dead babies aside, and flying heads aside. this is different than the Madame Xanadu do that I'm used to seeing. It was that, you know, sitting in there with her tarot cards, you know, being enigmatic with everyone and sending people off on missions. They have no freaking clue. And
yeah, she shows up in another book this week.
I was going to say, yeah, she's popping up all over the place. She's got this book, and yeah, she pops up in another book, and then she's got JLA Dark. She's like, she's the go-to girl right now at DC.
Yep. Yeah, was it Resurrection Man or was it Frankenstein she popped in?
Resurrection Man, yeah. The very last page, I think.
Okay. And thank God, oh my God, the demon doesn't rhyme. I missed that, actually. It'll come up eventually, but I don't think as a regular character.
Yeah, that would be hard.
It would be very hard, especially how much he talks.
Yeah, one of the last of the old guard, what was it? It was Demon, the Last Dark Knight. What was it? Last Dark, Batman the Dark Knight, the one that was late, extremely late. He was been in that storyline, and that was like the way it was written in that one, that his rhyming was a show of his power. So if he wasn't rhyming, he wasn't as powerful as he was before. But that was just that particular writer's interpretation of it anyway.
Well, that's a Gaiman, Neil Gaiman twist. Yeah, when he used him in the first Sandman storyline, it was, you know, his rhyming was a show of his position as one of the Lords of Hell.
Yeah, I think they even brought that up in Secret Six when they were in Hell there towards the end.
Right. I was glad for that. And I think Murray mentioned using Vandal Savage. It looks like he's going to be like one of their little, you know, their Magnificent Seven team. I think that's great.
Yeah. In fact, I think isn't that what the name of the story was? It had something to do with Seven.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm. He's always, you know, the bad guy, you know, chopping up relatives for parts.
I like that, Hal. I don't have any morals, but I like people that do.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite lines in the book. So
there was the last time I remember really liking him, it was in I don't remember which miniseries it was, but it was when all the villains were put up on some planet. And
Oh, yeah. What the hell was the name of that story?
And Vandal gathered all the women together so he could mate with all of them. That was classic.
That was classic. That was good stuff.
But this is – I'm looking forward to this Vandal Savage. This book was already a pull for mm-hmm. just based on the Paul Cornell being on it, but it will be also a top of the pile read for me, and I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to give a copy to. I got to find someone who's into sword and sorcery type stuff because that will
that's a good point.
Seal it.
And I have an extra copy I might be able to give out of that too. So yeah, that's a good idea. All right, next up we have
Be my Frankenstein. Sorry.
Got out of order here. I have one book out. Here we go. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade by Jeff Lemire and Alberto Ponticelli.
This is by far my biggest surprise of the week. I actually liked this book. It was the last book I read. I probably read it about 3 hours ago. I was not looking forward to it. I gave it 3.5, though. I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it enough that the art was appropriate for the book. Jeff Lemire, I don't know why. I shouldn't be surprised. I should not be surprised. He's good. It was a little exposition heavy, but
it was. But some of the other books needed that, and this went a little overboard. I agree with you there. But.
And that Father Time, straight out of Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't catch that right now. Catch that till you said that, but yeah, exactly. And I was interested on who shows up. Spoilers, everyone. Dr. Palmer, Ray Palmer.
Oh, that was cool, yes.
I was really shocked to see that.
Now, I'm curious, has he been the Atom? I'm wondering if that's...
I don't know, but he obviously knows how to shrink stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that he has been. Jeff Lemire did the Atom backup in...
That's right.
What was it in? Was it in Adventure Comics?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
No, it was Superboy, wasn't it?
Oh, shoot. I don't remember where it was.
I don't either.
It was an Atom backup somewhere.
And then they had that... special to,
and then they did special, yeah. But a lot of the concepts that he used in that Atom special and miniseries, he used in here, like that ant farm, the idea of the ant farm.
Oh, that's right. His lab was on a little slide. That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm gonna guess that he's been the Atom, but I mean, he doesn't have to have been, I guess, but.
Well, he was retired for a long time anyway. So, before
there just seemed to be almost an implication that he needed to get off the bench at some point. I don't remember which character said it, but it seemed to be implied that given all the new superheroes that were popping up. So again, I'm kind of curious where this is set time wise, but that he either hadn't gotten off the bench yet or needed to get back off the bench.
Yeah, now, for me, the art, I did not really care for it. But I understand what you're saying, though, about it fit the book. I kind of agree with that. And I liked Jeff Lemire's writing in this. I thought it was better than Animal Man. I didn't really care for Animal Man, but... I actually liked this book. I wanted to like it more. I wish the art was what the cover showed, but I gave it a 2 out of 5. Just the art. I would have given it a 3, but the art just didn't fit me. So a little rough. So what did you think, Murray?
I really liked it. I gave it a 4. I wasn't planning to look in on it again, but I'm definitely picking up the next issue Yeah, the art it's not your standard DC house style, but I think it works with the book, and I think I like it.
Yeah.
It's got a a neat mix of, you know, I look at it sometimes and I see a little bit of, I can't think, Guy Davis maybe, or I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm mildly curious. I am mildly curious to see what they do, and the Ray Palmer stuff. I'm an Adam fan, so
yeah. That I'll probably look at least the second issue anyway.
But, I think we're gonna get monsters and weird sci-fi concepts and stuff. Whereas, like with Animal Man and Swamp Thing, we're gonna get more of the horror, spooky stuff. I think this is gonna be more of a sci-fi, mystery type book, which is kind of cool, like big monsters and big-eyed robots and traveling to the moon and I don't know, I can see all that sort of stuff happening. So
traveling to Mars. I mean, he talks about his vacation to Mars being interrupted.
That's right. I like that. That was good.
I think that's from the Morrison take on Frankenstein. I don't know. Maybe you read that one or not, Murray. I have no idea. The Seven Soldiers Frankenstein book.
It's definitely the Morrison take on it for sure.
Okay.
He was involved with Father Time and Shade of that.
Yeah, I remember that Father Time character from that Uncle Sam and that whole Bloodhaven thing during the 1 year later, 52/52 part of the universe.
Oh, that was the what was it? The what are those characters called with the Ray and
Freedom Fighters?
Human Bomb. Yeah. Freedom Fighters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the same guy.
I'm back for a number two on that one.
All right. Next up, we have Green Lantern number one. Wow. I'm a big Geoff Johns. I'm going to go ahead and go first.
Sure.
That's all right. I already started talking. I'm a big Green Lantern fan, as everybody knows. I really like Geoff Johns' work, though. This last War of the Green Lanterns wasn't as good to me. Having Sinestro as a Green Lantern is a great twist. Doug Monkey art is great. The only thing I don't like is the whole Hal's being a bum again kind of thing. But I gave it a 4.5 out of 5 otherwise.
Ooh, strong.
Yeah, I really liked it. I liked the twist of him being a Green Lantern and what the implications of that are.
The only reason this thing didn't get a 2 for me was that part where he jumps from one building to the other. I thought that was really cool.
That did kick ass.
But nothing happened in this book. The only cool parts were the Sinestro parts of the book. Mm-hmm. I like Kyle Rayner better, Rayner or whatever his name is, as a Lantern. Hal Jordan never did it for me.
I have to admit, I never.
Wow.
Well, I just like. I've been following. I wasn't really a Hal fan until the whole Rebirth thing, and I really like this whole character, and I've been following it all the way through the Sinestro Corps War and all of this. The only thing I didn't really like after all this time was the War of the Lanterns, but I just really like the way how this is all setting up, and him being a Green Lantern, and he got the Sinestro Corps, I think it's just gonna turn out to be a really good story. Well, except for Hal being a bum, I don't really care for that. He kicked out of his house and all that other crap. But and then Sinestro shows up. I just think it's just gonna turn out to be a really good book. And this is pretty much like immediately after the War of the Green Lantern's aftermath books. So I think it would have gotten a little higher if not for that, because the new reader friendly, they say that's one of the reasons they wanted to do this. A lot of these aren't, in my opinion, but that's just me.
This ain't.
No, it's not. So, what do you think?
I haven't read Green Lantern in like forever. I missed out on all those Sinister War stuff, and like I haven't read anything. But this was really easy to pick up. Like, it was, you know, who doesn't know that Hal Jordan's Green Lantern? Okay, so you know that going in, and even if you don't, you get that he was one, and now he's not, and he's down on his luck, and the Guardians are doing what they always do, and I don't know, I thought there was enough of a story here. Sometimes I find Geoff Johns is really skimpy on the story. JLA number one.
Well, but, yeah.
Yes. And, I mean, that's an easy example, but I find, often I find his first issues are, I don't know, there's not enough for me. This felt like there was enough. Like, there was enough going on in Hal Jordan's life. Okay, I could follow this. And there was enough going on with Sinestro that kept me intrigued. And there were a couple of little subplots going on with the Guardians. So, like, I thought there was enough in this issue I may look in on number two. I don't know. But I thought it was a solid issue. Like, I thought it was a solid first issue. The artwork was beautiful. Like, I didn't think I was much of a Doug Monkey fan, but either his style has changed or my opinion has changed. But I thought the artwork was great. Like, there were some really expressive faces and just.
I don't know. It seems to me he's taking art lessons from Gary Frank on those eyes. His eyes are bordering that weird, funky Gary Frank.
Big bug-eyed
weird
look.
Yeah. Bug-eyed look, yeah. But, you know, I think I'm about done with Green Lantern, except out of Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand that. There has been a lot of that and stuff out. And Murray, if you like this, they finally got all of the Sinestro Corps War in one trade if you ever wanted to check it out. So. Because I think it was like, well, they had limited series things on. They were kind of on the side, like Tales of the Core and things like that, and then they split up the actual book into two, but now it's all. I think it just came out just recently. As a matter of fact, it came out this week.
Cool. I will look.
Yeah, $29.99, 336 pages. Green Lantern 21 through 25, Green Lantern Corps 14 through 19, and Green Lantern Sinestro Corps Special. That's not everything, but it's a real good – that's the main story. So, anyway.
Wow, that's a lot of – wow. That's a big book. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It was – that's why I liked it, because, I mean, they build up to it for 2 years, and then it went through the two books, and then there was some side stuff too, and it was just a really good story, I thought. But anyway. Okay, next up on the list we have Grifter number one by Edmondson, Kafu, and Gorder. Who wants to go first? I think you're a Grifter fan, Caleb, if you want to go first.
I am. And I'm still a Grifter fan. I gave this a 3.5
good.
Out of 5 along boxes. I'm intrigued. I really am. I like how they have basically started the character over from scratch.
Yeah, that's what I got.
He's got a lot of history within the Wildstorm universe and with the Wildcats, which, you know, they clearly are leaving that behind, or at least appears that they're leaving that behind. Though there seems to be an implication, they're implying with some of the shadow characters in this book. What was the name of that alien race in Wildcats? Anyways,
I was trying to remember that too, but I can't, because I actually read that Wildcats the first time around.
Oh, with the Jim Lee stuff back in the day, yeah. So,
I have the trade of it.
Yeah, and it appears that the writer's he's gonna use it. He's not gonna ignore it, but he's not gonna make it mandatory reading. Mm-hmm. I was the one thing that really threw me off here. I think that the artist or the colorist should have recolored or retouched the flashback pages. It got a little confusing between what's now and what happened in the past.
Yeah, good point.
And then the other thing, and I just caught this doing a little research on it a couple days ago. Bobby Chase is the editor on this.
Mm-hmm.
She's a former Marvel editor. A lot of history there. But she was brought in to be part of the Bat books of And so I'm kind of interested. I don't remember this being solicited as part of the Bat family of books, but she was hired in to be part of the Bat family of editors. So which could be nothing. I could be reading more into that than there is. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I guess 3.5. Like I said, I'm back for a second. I'm not certain who I would share this with either at this point. Maybe a Jason Bourne fan, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I'll give it another issue before I make that determination.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agreed with you on this. I liked it. It didn't blow my socks off, but I liked it better than some of the other stuff this week. I gave it a 3 out of 5. And the little bit I knew of Grifter, I could tell that this was a – and I mean, I could tell what was going on with the alien. They were going to bond him to the alien, and that's why he can hear him. It was stopped in the middle. But yeah, I liked it. Had some good scenes in it. It should be interesting. I don't know if I'll keep up with it or not, but yeah, it was a good book.
Daemonites, by the way, was the
Daemonites. That's right. I remember that.
Sorry, cheated. Thank goodness for the internet.
It's crackle time, Caleb.
Me? Okay, hold on. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay.
So, Murray, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I'm gonna pass. I don't know. Maybe it was when I was reading it. Maybe I need to do a reread. I could not figure out what was going on in here at all.
Yeah.
I was clueless. I mean, I got that he was a con man. Okay, like that. But yeah, I couldn't get. I don't know. I didn't follow.
I could. There were parts confusing, but I read a bunch of these at once, and I don't know. It just seemed to click to me, and it might have been because I knew enough about the character from before that I got.
Maybe I
picked it up. But.
Would my comment from earlier, if they recolored the or changed the tone on the flashbacks, would that have helped, do you think?
I guess so, since I'm guessing there were flashbacks.
Yeah. They did one of those kind of things where they show you the oh shit moment, excuse my language. And then they said it's like, oh, well, this is how we got there, and then they flow through the story up to the point where the show started. You know, they do that in TV some. And that's kind of what happened here, but it was really hard to catch that unless you. And I think Caleb's right. If they colored it and made you realize that what was going on, it would have been better.
Yeah. I think there's probably potential there, but
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I'm not sure I'd continue with it personally. But
I don't know that it's for me. But and the mask at the end, where does that come
from? That was
a hard moment. Actually, I'm sorry, I have to agree. That was actually almost took me out of the story.
Yeah, it did me. That was like what?
That's his traditional mask from back in the day.
Like that's what he's wearing on the cover, but.
I don't know how it got the lines on it and stuff, but whatever.
Yeah,
I've heard from people that have really liked it, so there's an audience out there for it, which is good.
Yeah, but my only thing was about it, and is that I don't. This is pretty much, I don't know, the same character it was back in the 90s, right? It was with a different origin.
Oh, I couldn't remember to save my life, man.
It's been redone so many times, I'm not even sure.
Okay.
I mean, at least that's from what I remember seeing, you know, Wildcats 3.0 or 4.0 or whatever, that they, you know, they'd start a book and for whatever reason it didn't take off and then they'd redo it. And so I don't have any idea, but just what I remember from that first time, that Wildcat series, that's what it seemed like it was pretty close. But anyway.
Yeah, I guess given the name that he probably was a bit of a con man back in the day.
Well, they even said that.
Yeah.
Even that he was a con. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
He's no John Cusack, though.
So. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. That was a weird movie.
Yes, it was.
Yes, very odd. Okay, now, this is the one I'm really interested to see hear what you guys think. Next up, we have Legion Lost. And we're all fans of Legion here. So this is by Fabian Nicesia and Pete Woods. So, who wants to go first?
I give it a 4. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Merv. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, me too. Yeah, I thought the art was beautiful. I don't know if I'm the best person to be asked about, you know, whether this is new reader friendly or not, because Legion is, of course, one of my blind
spots. Yeah, that's true. Me too.
Confusion that's in the story, like, I have complaints that people are like, are we jumping right in the middle? What's going on? I feel like I missed something, but I think you're supposed to feel that way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way he's starting the story. You're being dropped in the middle, just like the Legion is, and you're given enough to figure out what's going on, I think, and we'll pick up the rest as we go.
I have a feeling that the Legion next week will fill in the gaps.
It may, but I don't think it needs to. Like, I think there's enough here that you can get the sense of the story for sure.
I would like to see the perspective of them leaving from the Legion next week. At least that moment, like, oh, here's the Seven gone.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to cause that moment? But I agree, it's not necessary for this book. Just, you know, knowing these Seven chasing down this whoever this guy is. I don't even know who this bad guy is. Who may or may not even be a bad guy. Seems to be kind of he lucked into being such a super baddie, it sounds like. But I'll be honest, I found it a little confusing, but I think that was part, like you said, is part of the story. You're supposed to be confused, just like the characters in the book. I think this book suffers from having too many characters introduced all at once. I gave Geoff Johns a hard time on not introducing enough characters all at once in the Justice League number one. I think this book could have benefited from the extra pages that they've been given a couple of the other books.
Yeah.
Those little, you know, like in the Legion, they have those little text boxes that they just throw up in front of each of the characters.
Yeah, they should have done that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Name, power. Because
I think they've gotten rid of that completely. I've only seen that in one book in this new run. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was.
Frankenstein.
Was it Frankenstein?
Frankenstein. He did that. There was that part where they introduced the. And I don't remember where there was exposition, where they were using that funky
computer thing, but they did it in Hawk and Dove too, I think.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yeah, you're right.
But there was a lot of exposition in that too.
Yes, it was.
Well, so what did you rate it, Murray?
Oh, I'd give it a 4 for sure.
Well, I didn't like this as much as I wanted to. I gave it a 3 out of 5. And I really can't put my finger on it. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. The art is good. The story is good. And I don't necessarily mind not knowing exactly what's going on if it's done right, and to me this was okay, because I mean, they talked about it, but there was just something off about it, and maybe because what happened to you know, spoilers, what happened to Yara and Gates, but I don't think they're dead. That's just me.
Let me see. We got three comic book readers been reading comics for what, probably combined, you know, 50 plus years combined reading.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. No. No body, no death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when you're talking about a teleporter.
And a shape changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be back for number two, probably number three.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I liked the book, but I just – something was off about it. But anyway, I'm sure the rest of it will be better. Because I like Nicesia's work. He did a great job with that Red Robin run. And he's done some other stuff I really enjoyed. I think he just wrote some X-Men back when I was still reading X-Men.
And he's a self-confessed Legion fan. So.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to stray away too much from it. So, but yeah, that's how I felt about it. Next up, we have Mr. Terrific. Who wants to go
first? Not so terrific.
Okay, go ahead, Caleb.
Boy, that was a one and a half.
Really?
Out of five for me. Yeah. The exposition was clunky. The characters were stereotypes. The only thing that saved this book was the art. And I did not like this book. And you remember, you know, when we were talking about the build up to this 52. This was I was sold on this book by the description.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's off my pull list.
Okay.
I did not like it. Again, the art saved it, and I liked the cameo by Karen Starr. Curious if she was ever Power Girl. I don't know, but
well, with the Earth 2 thing coming up, I'm wondering too.
Yeah. But nope. Not a fan.
Okay. What did you think, Murray?
Yeah, I didn't love it. I thought the art was nice, but the story just didn't do anything for me. And you know what? Maybe the story was fine. It was all that talking. And I love words in my books. Like, I love lots of words with my pictures. But these words were not doing it for me.
Well, okay. I really like this. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. And it's funny. I liked the exposition to a point. I thought it was, that's why I didn't rate, one of the reasons why I didn't hire. And the art, it's not bad, but I didn't like it as much as you guys did. And I tell you what really cinched it is when he went to his sanctum in the ninth dimension. Once I read that, I'm like, okay, that is cool as hell. So I like this book, and I'm going to keep reading it, at least for the foreseeable future anyway. And I was a big fan of his character in JSA, so. I like this.
You know, I was reading the which version of it? The Avengers book that Hank Pym was the leader on recently.
Is it Avengers Academy?
No, it was before that. It was the book that kind of led into Avengers Academy, where they introduced the concept of the Infinite Mansion. This felt like, I mean, maybe it's just because I've read the other book that I caught that, but this felt like a total rip on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that he can, you know, he can access it from anywhere. He can, you know, be anywhere, anytime, any place. I don't know. And again, for someone who hasn't read those Avengers books, this is a new concept, and it is a cool concept.
Yeah,
I thought it was a cool concept when it was introduced there. I didn't know that it had been introduced in the a twist on it in the Atom story that Lemire did.
Even before that, though, if I'm not mistaken, even in Grant Morrison's JLA, they had that.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's it felt clunky, and the I'm here because, and then he goes and then he talks about his little. Enough. I'm sorry.
There was a lot of exposition in it, and it's like the art for me. You really couldn't tell that his the mark on his face was supposed to be a T.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that was my problem with it. And, I mean, I don't know. The art was just a little off for me. But, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. But,
and I didn't hate it as much as Hawk and Dove, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that book again.
There you go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wish the art was like the – well, of course, that's J.G. Jones. I don't think he could pull off a monthly book, but
Isn't this one of the books, though, that's got a different artist next issue and then another?
Yeah, that's right. Every single issue has got a different artist. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Still finding the right guy for this book.
Yeah.
You mean someone who can draw 20 pages in 30 days? I don't know.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay, next up we have Red Lanterns. Number one. Go for it.
Actually, so far, my favorite of the Lantern books.
Really?
Yeah, I gave it 3.5. Out of 5. It's a good start. The art is nice. It's got a small cast so far, or at least a small cast of main characters.
Well, they can talk coherently anyway.
Right. Well, they've only got one who can talk coherently so far. What else did I put here? But it's not sustainable. There is no freaking way that this thing can last. And I hope it doesn't. I will continue to actually read this. Up to a point, but I can see that this book should die quickly, and not because it's bad, but simply because I don't want to read about these guys forever.
No, see that I gave this a 1.5 out of 5. The main reason, well, it's like you said, I only gave it a 1, but there's actually a story a little bit in here instead of, you know, oh, there's somebody there, let's rip them to pieces. Yeah. Little backstory there. I like the art. But yeah, you're right. It's not sustainable. I just don't see this. And that last page where I forget that character's name with the skeletal wings, I really couldn't barely understand what she was talking about. It didn't make much sense. I think like the third issue has got a picture of her on it with her in a shower of blood.
Yeah, lovely.
Which, you know, if it was water, would be somewhat sexy, but not with blood, it's not.
Well, I think she's also in the New Guardians book, too. That's next week or week 4, I don't know. But
I think it's next week. I'm not really sure. What did you think, Murray?
I don't know. If ever there was a Lantern that didn't need a book, this was probably it. So I wasn't looking forward to it, and it was okay. I liked that it wasn't all Red Lantern all the time. Like, he didn't Atrocitus on every single page. It looks like there's some other kind of story building in the background there, and wherever that was, in London or the United Kingdom there, like that made me sit up and go, oh, maybe there's more to this book than just Red Lanterns running around spitting blood on people. Maybe. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting. The rest didn't do a lot for me.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen them actually tie that story into the main story. It almost felt, I mean, I don't want to have to wait till second or third issue to see how that is important. I would like to at least one panel of, you know, where do these two stories intersect?
They might be setting up a human being a Red Lantern.
Yeah.
But you never know. Okay. So I think we all feel the same about that one there, pretty much. All right, next one up, Resurrection Man, with Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning and Fernando DeGino. We'll call it that. Who's up? Murray, you want to give it a shot?
Sure. I like this. I have never read any Resurrection Man. I keep meaning to dig through the back issues and pull some out, but this is my first exposure to him, and I liked it. I didn't know whether I was going to or what to expect, but I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I loved, like, this is one of the books where, yeah, there's lots of words, but the words are good words. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, I don't know, for me, comics should always be pictures and words. Like, they always say show, don't tell. And I'm like, no, show and tell. Tell. Mm-hmm. Give me the words. And, yeah, I liked it. I liked the way he describes, like, all the metal at the beginning there, how he takes the metal.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked that.
That was great. And then at the end when he's all watery and stuff, like, I thought the scripting was great. I thought the language was good. And that Mitch Shelley is an interesting character. Like, I would like to know more about him. What's going on? What's the story behind him? And so, like, from that point, it pulled me in. I want to find out what's going on and see what's going on with all these angels or demons or whatever they are that are fighting over his soul. That's kind of a neat concept there. Yeah, I am in for another couple of issues, and I would like to see what's up.
Yep.
Definitely a twist from what Abnett and Lanning have been doing recently, which is all the cosmic stuff over at Marvel. And I've read some the Resurrection Man stuff from right after Zero Hour, I think. This was fun. I gave it a 3. I like that. You know, go ahead and add something to what's going on in the picture. I'm always giving my daughter a hard time when she picks up a comic book and breezes through it in a few seconds. I'm like, there's words there too, honey. It will fill in. She keeps asking me, what's happening here? It's like, read the words, and they will fill in the blanks. And these guys, they did that. I think the only thing that dragged it down for me, I don't even remember what it was. There was something about it that I couldn't go higher on it. I might, you know, I'm going to have to look at it again. I don't remember what it was, but I'm back for another issue. I'm curious about the name. Now that they got Frankenstein in one book and they've got this character Mitch Shelley in another book,
That's funny. I didn't even think of that till just now.
There you go. There's all kinds of little crossovers we can have.
Easy. I mean, because that was the whole thing with Grant Morrison. He you know, given that Frankenstein is a public domain character, so is Mary Shelley, who created Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I'm going off on a tangent.
Yeah, I like this too. I wasn't a big fan of those two when they did Legion a couple years ago, or back in the 90s, it weren't a couple years ago. I'm real big fan of the cosmic stuff at Marvel. It got me reading Marvel that I hadn't read in a long time. I read one issue of it, of that Annihilation, and got hooked on that. I got all the trades of it. So yeah, this is good stuff. I'll probably be back as well.
Their Guardians of the Galaxy stuff rocked.
Oh yeah, yes, that's right. I read that too. I've got like two or three trades of that. I've only read one so far that I got a big stack of trades that I keep getting. That in case I have a single issue drought, I can jump into those. It's like it's my rainy day stack.
Or if you get time off like Murr's had lately.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been reading that on Facebook. But yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5. So, all right, next up, Suicide Squad. Somebody ought to do a podcast about that.
I could talk about the old series forever. I don't know if I'd want to talk about the new series forever, but I could.
Yeah.
Talk about
it. Okay. Well. Okay. Go ahead. What did you think?
This is my biggest disappointment of the week.
Really.
Yeah, I gave it 2.5. I mean, you know, it wasn't horrible, but it was predictable. That quote unquote twist at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who has read a spy novel, seen a spy movie, I easily saw that coming from almost page one. But the dialogue was nice. The art was pretty. I didn't like the fact that, that Amanda Waller is now this hot black chick rather than
yeah.
she's more of the who played her in the Green Lantern movie? I don't remember.
That's it. Is that it?
I can't remember her name.
Was it Angela Bassett?
Yeah, that's it. Angela Bassett.
Is that what you said, Murray? I don't know.
Yeah, you cut out for a second. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, she shouldn't be a hot chick. She's the wall, for goodness sake. Come on.
A lot of controversy about that on the internet too.
And I grant that controversy. That was part of her character. And
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily like the new Deadpool. Definitely the new Harley. We'll see. You're a bad fan. I don't know. You probably have more to say on that point.
I've never been a Harley fan, so.
Oh, okay.
I think the outfit's a little much, but you know. But I like this a lot better than I thought I would.
Oh, okay.
The art was okay. Some parts I thought it was a little rough, but. Looks like they took a character out of Gail Simone's Birds of Prey, the Savant character. He was the first to go. But I kind of like it. I liked it a lot better than I thought. Whether I stick around on it or not, I'm not sure. But I gave it a 3 out of 5. I liked it a lot better than I thought I was going to. So, what'd you think, Murray?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't know. Like, when you look at Secret Six, mm-hmm. which we had, and then you have this,
mm-hmm.
I like my Secret Six way.
Yeah, that's in a whole nother league. For sure. It's okay. And I'm glad it's T+. That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it introduced the characters. I guess you got a little blurb about each of them and what makes them tick.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, but there wasn't anything that grabbed me. I don't like really any of the redesigns. I think Killer Shark with his eyes out of his head is.
He's a hammerhead now. That bothered me. Yeah.
Yeah, it does too. It does me too. And I don't. One of the things that's bugged me since this whole thing came out is they made a big deal about 50 new character redesigns. Well, some of the characters did need a redesign, and that was one of them.
Yeah, he's a walking, talking shark. You don't need to.
And Deadshot's look. I think it was unnecessary. Too, I think it was better as like he was before. It makes him look like he's relying on technology for his skills more, with that big freaking Death Star on his head.
That's right. He was just. That's what I liked about the original Suicide Squad, and also about Secret Six, is that you know you found out about these characters through the story. Mm-hmm. And this again, I understand. This is all it's supposed to bring in the new readers. You can't drag the introduction out for too many issues because mm-hmm. you want to bring the new readers back. But
right.
Definitely the appeal of when Ostrander was writing the villains as the main characters and when Gail Simone was writing them as the main characters was, you know, just they're bad guys. That's all you need to know, and they're bad guys who are put into a situation where, darn it, they have to do something right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure about their first mission in this one, but yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so let's go. Let's go. Just yeah, like New Orleans doesn't have enough to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also where Grifter is set, isn't it? Or no,
No, that was a Mississippi stadium. They said.
Oh, okay. All right. So
close. We're right next to each other.
Okay. I didn't remember the names of where everything was. So.
Well, I just got through reading that a couple hours ago, so it was fresh in my mind.
Okay.
So, next up, Superboy number one. And I'm going to go ahead and start on this one. It's funny. I just got to the point where I liked because when the last Superboy character came out, I couldn't stand it, the way, you know, the whole act. And I finally, you know, after he got killed, I was actually glad. in Infinite Crisis, that sounds terrible, but I hated that character. And when he came back, I got to the point where I liked it. And now we have a completely new deal. And I think my prophecy from several weeks ago that this is going to be exactly, if not really close to the character in Young Justice, I think he's going to come true. I like the art in it. But I gave it a 3 out of 5. I actually like this book. And I wanted to see more.
No, I gave it a 4.
Really?
I gave it a 4. Oh, cool. This one came out of left field to me. It was a good. It was a smooth read.
Yeah, it was.
It felt a little slow on the build up. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, all that stuff in the lab and stuff. I want to know who that blonde chick is, or not, whatever color hair, the one he kind of latched onto.
In the VR thing?
Yeah, I don't – not
– Oh, she's a redhead.
Redhead, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of curious because I think we're supposed to know who she is.
Well, I'll tell you. I saw a deal on Bleeding Cool. Her name is the same as a name of a character from Gen 13.
Oh, okay. Okay, so another Wildstorm character. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I thought maybe it was going to be a twist on Dubalex, to be honest with you. Or have we seen him in another book?
Yeah, he was in OMAC.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I didn't remember it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey.
What, you didn't like OMAC? I don't remember.
I OMAC's not a repeat for me, but
oh, okay.
I'm coming back for another issue of Superboy. Whoa, I can't believe I'm coming back for another issue of Superboy.
Me either. I actually like it. And it's obviously – I like how they're actually going to tie it into the Teen Titans, it seems.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that last page.
Yeah. And there is going to be another controversy about that. But apparently – and it was on Bleeding Cool today – spoilers, of course, that one of the characters in the new Teen Titans is going to be gay.
It's Superboy. I bet it's Superboy. I know it's Superboy.
Actually, it's not Superboy. They've got a picture of it and everything. Anyway, so I'm sure, you know, we'll hear something from Glenn Beck and some of those other people before it's over.
It'll be that guy who didn't want the GD Superman.
He'll be banning all books by Lobdell, probably. But he put up with it before, so. Anyway.
So, Murray, are you on the Superboy bandwagon?
I think I am. I wasn't planning to be.
Yeah, I wasn't either, but I actually liked it.
I liked Superboy. I mean, I liked the original Superboy, and I liked the Carl Kiesel, Tom Grummett version, which was all fun and bubbly and leather jackets and stuff, and that was cool. And then Geoff Johns got a hold of him and he turned all grumpy and depressed. And
yeah,
I was tired of that version. And this version seems like not more of the same, but it felt a little like going in, I thought, clone coming out. We've seen all this before. What are they going to do? Like, It just seemed like it was going to be just a retread of what we've seen. Mm-hmm. But nothing wrong with a retread if it's going to be done well. And this is beautiful to look at. The artwork is gorgeous. And the story kind of sucked me in, too. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it. So I will probably peek in on another issue and see what's what. I like the relationships that are being formed already, even though he was just in a tank for a couple of months and he's not much of anything yet. But his relationship with the red-haired girl there is interesting, and Rose Wilson appears to be in here, which is kind of
that's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, another little interesting twist there, and then yeah, throwing the Teen Titans there at the end is yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going to go. Like, this is another one of those weird organizations that's behind the scenes. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how many secret organizations can they squeeze into the DC universe?
How many letters are there in the alphabet?
That's right. Yeah, so they brought back Star. Now they got Shade. They've got what else? There was some other. Oh, Nowhere.
That's
which
what
is this
book.
Is.
Yeah. And yeah, it'll be in Teen Titans too.
Yeah. I'll be curious. I'm back for a second issue, probably third. I'm gonna try and figure out who to share this with. I couldn't share it with my daughter. Just a little too, mm-hmm. a little too dark. But she likes Young Justice. And this is clearly – they clearly found that character appealed more than current comic book version of the character appealed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or this was easier to build a new character around.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's see. A little bit more DC relaunch news. I don't know if you guys heard it. I think I posted in Facebook. They're going to do a limited series, a brand new – character, well, an old name for a character, the Ray. It's going to be by Palmolati, Jimmy Palmolati, Justin Gray, and Jamal Igel, which is good to see him on a book again. There's a picture here on Bleeding Cool. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
I saw it on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah. So there are more books coming out, and I think it says it's going to be a well, Washington Post had the first news of it. I believe it said it was going to be a limited series first kind of thing, and if it takes off, then – so they're already getting things set up to replace things that may go by the wayside, like, oh, I don't know, Hawk and Dove. And – oh, I said that – oh, yeah, Red Lanterns, yeah. After they've killed everybody.
Right.
After they've raged – everybody to death.
Right.
So but yeah. Otherwise, it wasn't too bad of a week, actually.
It was a stronger week for me than last week, that's for certain.
Next week
not by
is
much.
Going to be something. We have Batman number one, Birds of Prey number one, Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Catwoman, DC Universe Presents, Green Lantern Corps, Legion of Superheroes, yay! Nightwing number one, yay! Yeah, Red Hood and the Outlaws, which there's some preview art for that out. That's an interesting take. Supergirl and... oh, yeah, that's it. So, it's going to be big.
Hey, I had a question to sure. flashback to our first book, Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. We were talking last week about whether Alfred was maybe a hologram or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he obviously is not.
Yeah, I didn't. At least not in this book. He wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh, about that, somebody asked, who was it? Scott Snyder that on Twitter, and he said, no, he is not. So, but you know, I don't know. And that detective is obviously earlier in Bruce Wayne's career, I think.
Okay.
They should have said that, because this one seems more, even though Gordon still had red hair, I think, if I remember correctly. This is seems to be in the now, quote unquote. So, yeah.
In the here, get in the now. Sorry. Watching Wayne's World.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I never did the care for that. Well, that, you know, at the time it was okay, but, you know.
And my daughters love it.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's funny stuff.
Hey, look, I wanted to push a trade that I finally got a finished reading.
Okay, go for it.
Based on my love at this Demon Knights book that came out this week,
mm-hmm.
I finally finished reading The Knight and Squire trade paperback.
Yeah, I read that when it was out. Go ahead.
Speaking of, I read the mini when it was out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Paul Cornell wrote this. It's drawn by Jimmy Broxton. The main characters are originally kind of a riff on Batman and Robin. More, they were called Knight and Squire. The Knight is a more the Batman type, you know, but he's dressed as a knight, and Squire is more the Robin type, but dressed kind of like a, you know, well, a squire, also a girl. But she's the brains of the outfit. He's the muscle and the money. Great book, very tongue in cheek. Has a real. It's set in England. It's got sort of almost a 60s spy, you know, 60s English spy quality to the whole thing. One of the best portrayals of the Joker that I've read in a long time. Yeah, the last two issues.
That was good.
I loved it. And again, that's what hooked me on Paul Cornell. And so far, he hasn't disappointed from there to now. But if you go off our discussion of Demon Knights and want to see more from Paul Cornell, this Knight and Squire book is available on Amazon or whatever, or your local comic book store where you might could or should be picking up your weekly comics. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on Comixology, but you can certainly take a look on there and see if it's available for download.
I can check that real quick.
Great book. I don't know, Murray, have you read this?
I have not. I've heard great things about it, but I haven't picked it up, so it's something I can look for.
Yes, you should. You should. Oh. North of the border. I'm sure they've got it up there too, so
up there in trapping and pelting land.
That's right. Canada.
Okay, on Comixology, all they have is a 16-page preview of the first issue.
Which is a good hook, though. I'll tell you, even if they don't have any more, if you want to kind of get a taste for it, that's got a great scene in a bar in there. It's very, very tenuous tie to the regular DC universe with Wildcat from Justice Society is in there. Anyhow, that's my non post flashback New 52 DC Universe recommendation.
Yep.
I was trying to find something Marvel, but I just finished it last week, so there was no reason not to bring it up with my love of the Demon Knights book.
Along that line, I've got a recommendation too, and it's actually a new Marvel. I'm still liking Daredevil. It's not Marvel. It's from Dynamite. I don't know if you guys missed this or not, or heard of this or not. The Bionic Man. I guess Dynamite got the rights from NBC to put out a Bionic Man comic, and even though it's written by Kevin Smith and Phil Hester, with art by Jonathan Lau, which I'm not mistaken is the same guy that does the Green Hornet stuff, which I've read, and I actually liked it, though typical Kevin Smith, there was some toilet humor and other things of the anal nature mentioned in here. That's typical him, but otherwise, it was a pretty good book. It was kind of like watching an old episode of the $6 Million Man. So, I'm just interested to see how that goes. I think I've already ordered like the first three or four issues of it. So, it's not a bad read. Something else to pick up if you're into that.
Now, is it called The Bionic Man, or is it called The $6 Million Man?
It's called The Bionic Man, actually.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was a good book. There's Steve Austin in there and Oscar Goldman, and got the thing with the plane, and they end it with him, you know, that wonderful scene they always show at the beginning of the show, you know, it's breaking up. But there's some, depending on which, you know, of course Dynamite has that habit of doing 47 covers for every issue. This particular one has only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only had 10 different covers.
Jesus.
One of them by Alex Ross, which is the one I got, cover A. And it's not bad. You know, it depends on, you know, you got the negative cover and the Jonathan Lau, the Paul Renard, and the Bionic Blue Paul Renard cover. But anyway, that's I think how they made their extra money. But anyway, yeah, it's really good stuff. I met Phil Hester in Chicago a couple years ago, but I guess it's a story based on a story by Kevin Smith, a script by Kevin Smith and Phil Hester. So, yeah. So, yeah, this is some good stuff. I liked it.
That Alex Ross cover is beautiful. I'm looking at it online right now.
Yeah, it is. Wow. It's a really good one. And the second issue looks even better. They got that on the inside. So, but yeah, it should be interesting. I was a big fan of that show when I was a kid. And they even have, what's that character's name that was the Bionic Woman?
Jamie Summers.
Yes, she is a love interest. So, right. Got that tied in there too. So,
as long as they bring Max the dog in, I'm down.
Well, you know, we're talking about Kevin Smith. You never know.
That's true.
So
he was probably a Max the Dog fan as well.
So yeah, that was kind of a fun thing I added to my list there. So, what was that, Murray?
Oh no, I was just saying, very good.
Yeah,
very good. Sounds good.
All right, is that it for everybody?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me do the close this time, like I have been, and remind everybody that. You know, if you want to join in a conversation with the podcast, we have a wonderful, pristine forums on talesfromthelawnbox.com/forums. So far, me and Cale were the only ones that joined up.
And, oh, come on, there were six people who tried to join this week. Oh, yeah, wait, those were people.
Yeah, those were spammers. I'm still I have to go through and look at every single person, and there's this place I do a search on their email address to see if they're a spammer, and so far, it's only been spammers joining, but I ban them as soon as I find them. Then we have our Facebook section, which is – we had a real great discussion with Paul French from the Legion podcast about the ratings and the content where they're in and what the kids' thresholds are for gore and other things like that. Brought up by an article on Bleeding Cool about the issue of Green Lantern Corps coming up, people getting cut in half and things like that. So, anyway, that's the kind of thing you see on there. And the way the group's set up, any member can allow anybody to come in. So if you want to request to get in, just let us know. And you can always leave comments there or on the actual website, talesfromthelawnbox.com. Each episode has its own post. I have made it a little bit easier to find those, and I also have a wonderful little player built into the front of the website now. So you can just play the episodes right from there without having to hunt down any thread, because I do post there's Twitter updates. I tweet news on occasion. And, you know, we can always check out the tweet. TFT Lawn Box is the tweeter for this. So that's about it.
Hey, Murr, thanks for dialing in. We appreciate
it. Yeah, we appreciate it. We like having another voice in there, and you're welcome back anytime.
Excellent. Lots of fun.
Yeah. Good time. So, anyway, that's us signing off. Until next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, are we done? Did you stop recording yet? No, I'm kidding.
I'm trying to.